Welcome to the Matt and Jeff
Show,
your one-stop shop for comics, comic book movies, and pop culture.
Wow, pretty smooth there, Jeff.
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying to make it smooth for the ladies.
Smooth, silky smooth.
Silky smooth.
Smooth as panties. Whoa.
I was thinking more like Chef from South Park, but hey.
Like salty balls smooth?
Something like that.
Chocolatey, salty balls. That's all I remember from South Park with Chef.
How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I had a good Christmas.
Yeah.
Good New Year's.
Good. You know,
Christmas brought a lot of good things. We had an opportunity, which we'll get to here in just a couple minutes, to go see Rogue One.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
You know, I ended up getting the original Star Wars trilogy on Blu-ray.
Nice.
I hadn't had it before.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. You know, sweet. I got a few things to check out and mm-hmm. review. I did get Captain America Civil War, which not my favorite of the Marvel films, but I said I'd own it because it is a comic book related movie, and and I do like having those. So I'm going to go through and pick it apart again.
Yeah.
On my second viewing.
Definitely.
But hey.
Well, I watched it because it's on Netflix now.
That's right. It's on Netflix.
And it's lame. I went back and watched it and I was like, this is such a disappointing movie from...
I've watched Dawn of Justice twice since I got it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched Suicide Squad, the extended edition. Love it.
Well, of course.
You know, I know there are people who had their little hang-ups with it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very frenetic, like the comic books, and I enjoyed it. So, and really, they didn't change a whole lot with the extended edition. There's some additional scenes, some added stuff, which was cool to see.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So,
how was yours, Christmas?
Pretty good. You know, it was split between both families again, and you know, this was the first Christmas we had to battle without my mom being here. So, you know, it was a little tough on the family, but you know, we persevered through it. New Year's was good. You know, the wife and I hung out. Did some board games with some friends, had some cocktails, some bar food, so we celebrated.
Nice.
You know, pretty simple, pretty clean, nothing too crazy.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
You might not remember it, depending on how many cocktails you had.
Wow, yeah.
All right. Well, moving right along. Rogue One.
Yes.
We had a chance to take the boys.
We did.
Our sons with us. And saw it. Nice reclining seats in the theater. Just reclined all back. Enjoyed the show. I think it was my favorite Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And I really felt like there was a war going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it didn't just deal with one little group. It kind of was a little more scattered.
Yeah.
You had different people coming in and moving, you know, players moving in and moving out. And so I was pretty impressed with it. I thought they did a great job. As a standalone movie, I thought it worked well.
Yeah.
But I think it worked great as a lead into A New Hope. And it totally changed my thought process when it came to A New Hope.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of get into that a little bit more as we go. Because today we're talking sci-fi movies.
Yes.
So I highly recommend Rogue One.
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Yes.
There's probably a ton of spoilers out there already for you guys that have already been ruined.
Yeah. I mean, Rogue One was good.
It was good.
It was enjoyable. It had a little bit of a slow start, but I think that was building up the storyline to the epic scenes at the end of the film. And I think it was a good way to interject between, I believe it was, Revenge of the Sith being the third film, and then A New Hope.
Right.
And it bridged that gap between the two.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, it was really well done. You know, the boys seemed to enjoy it. They were pretty much glued to it
the
whole time. You and I were looking at each other, like, making comments on and off, but, you know, like, we were Siskel and Ebert sitting there in the theater, and the boys were just like, tractor beam.
They were glued to it.
So,
and
but yeah, definitely good for the family. So. Take your kids out, check it out, have an enjoyable time. But yeah, sci-fi films and TV shows. That's today's episode, Jeff.
Yes, I'm going to kick it off with my very first pick.
Oh, here we go.
Star Wars.
Well,
like I said, we're sagging right in.
Yeah.
And when I say Star Wars, I'm lumping the whole kit and caboodle together.
The whole mass media of films.
Well, there's films, there's cartoons, there's rumors that there might be a Netflix TV show coming at some point.
Really?
It's rumors.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but it's rumors. You know, but for me, Star Wars is Rogue One.
Yeah.
Episodes 4, 5, and 6, and 7.
So you totally cut out 1, 2, and 3.
Don't get me wrong. I liked Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I liked Qui-Gon Jinn. I really enjoyed several of the characters that were involved. The new trilogy.
Right.
That was done. And so I really... there's some characters I like.
Jar Jar Binks.
I hated Jar Jar Binks. I hated all the racial type slurs, you know. Yeah. The Federation basically was bad English from Chinese people. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And it was very sad to me. And the Gungans were nothing more than slaves, the way they talk. You know, the old black slaves. And I just don't like those kinds of connotations, so I would have rather seen them do a little something different.
Yeah, I think they were trying to just be different than what was done before.
I hated the boy in the first one.
The young Anakin.
Yeah, the young Anakin. Right. I didn't like him. I didn't like the whole Medichlorians being, that made him, you know, out of nothing. His mom had a virgin birth.
Right.
I didn't dig that. I also didn't like Hayden Christensen in the second and third one. I thought that he wasn't any good. So, but arguably, I think Star Wars was such a huge masterpiece at the time, back in 1977, 78, when it came out.
Mid to late 70s.
It was unheard of. The special effects, just the stuff that Star Wars did for the movie industry, for science fiction in general.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, it was nothing that had really been seen before on screen.
Right. So I have to give him kudos for that. George Lucas, he was the same guy who made 1973's American Graffiti.
Yeah.
You know, he was keenly attuned to car culture, and yet he created these beautiful, distant planet of Tatooine, where a young man stranded in a dead-end town, you know, just hoping to get out of there, you know, and he was able to develop this character and develop a whole thing. Now, you know, Harrison Ford went from somebody people had heard of to all of a sudden a megastar overnight.
Yeah. Wasn't he like a carpenter?
Yeah,
he had some other trade, I thought, before he got into acting.
I think so. And James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
You know, the voice of Darth Vader just blows you away every time. I love James Earl Jones. He was great in Conan. But it's such a cool thing to hear that voice coming out of Darth Vader. And he made such an incredible villain with Vader in those early movies. There are a couple things I do want to say. Because you buy the new trilogy. What do you got? You end up with all the recuts Lucas did. I wish he hadn't done it. You know, I really wish he hadn't done it. Because we all know that Han shot first.
His load?
You know, ask Leia.
Well, I mean, we do know Carrie Fisher, you know, came out with her new book regarding her relationship.
Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher.
Yes, rest in peace.
We will miss you.
I don't recall Luke ever getting any.
Well, you know, he was her brother. That is kind of, you know.
A little bit on the incest side.
Yeah, that's a little on the no-nos.
He does have that robotic arm, so, I mean, he could always rub one out. I mean, it probably feels like a stranger.
Well, what did we learn from the Big Bang Theory? You know, Wolowitz. He was doing it, but, you know, here...
And Raj.
Right. Here, at least, Luke's got Chewie as a friend to help him out of the situation.
Ouch. Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, I'd be afraid Chewie would rip it off.
Might just rip it right off.
I mean, I'd rather masturbate with a cheese grater than have a Wookiee kind of rub one out for me. Because, you know, all of a sudden, if, like, Chewie gets shot in the eye or something, I mean, he's going to be angry, and then there it goes. You know, you just got bobbited by a Wookiee.
You know, you want to let the Wookiee win.
Yeah, right.
You just might tear your out of the socket.
We might have to cut this whole part out.
But I love that.
Took that for a really terrible spin.
Wow.
Once again, we were able to interject load for you fans out there.
Han Solo. That's what it really meant all this time.
Hand Solo.
So, you know, then we go into Empire Strikes Back, which I thought...
Yeah.
You know, arguably, yeah. I think the bulk of the people, including Empire Magazine, said that was the greatest movie of all time in regards to sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one of my favorites.
So, you know, I think Rogue One beat it out.
Mm, yeah, it's close.
But it's close. Pretty close. Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because nobody kept changing up the names in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Where in Empire Strikes Back, we did say Han and Han and Leia and Leia.
Yeah.
And there were some things that could have been polished up a little bit better.
I always like to...
But overall, I feel Star Wars
really
set the stage for what sci-fi has become.
Definitely. And it's still running strong. You know, I always like to call the princess Princess Leia.
Well, you know, when she was wearing that nice little bikini
little outfit,
in Return of the Jedi, there were a lot of people who were wishing she would.
Yeah. Is that all you got on Star Wars?
That's what I got on Star Wars.
Okay. I'm going to throw a film out there that I really enjoyed and I thought was really cool, and it's called Looper.
Oh. That's the one with Bruce Willis, right?
Yes. From 2012. It was considered an American neo-noir science fiction thriller.
It's Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yes. And Emily Blunt was in that also. It revolves around criminal syndicates.
We like Emily Blunt.
Yeah, she's kind of done a few sci-fi films. She did the one with Tom Cruise.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
Got no problem with Emily Blunt.
But, Looper revolves around criminal syndicates using contracted killers called loopers to kill victims sent through time traveling.
It's a good idea. We should work on that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. The special effects were amazing. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I mean, he did a phenomenal job portraying Bruce Willis, a young Bruce Willis in the role.
Oh, yeah.
All the cosmetic,
right,
facial...
And he was sent back to kill himself.
Yes. You'll just have to watch the movie.
That's all we're saying. Check it out.
The film was a critical and commercial blockbuster, grossing $176.5 million on a $30 million budget. That's huge.
Yeah.
And received critical acclaim for its special effects and story.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was an original tale. I mean, that was the cool thing.
Yeah.
It's so rare that you see Hollywood bring something original to the table anymore.
And I thought Bruce Willis was a great pick for it. I got to give kudos to Levitt. I thought he did a phenomenal job as portraying the young Bruce Willis, adapting into the older. And it was a really warped sense of time traveling, you know, from present to future to past, and kind of tying them all together, you know, with a lot of violence and criminal activity. And
you know how that time travel stuff is. It's just all messy. I mean,
look at
The Flash.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's one of my picks. I really enjoyed that film. Kind of mind-blowing for me at its time.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Alien. The whole Alien series. You know, there's just something about eating spaghetti and having an alien bust out of your guts in the morning that really starts your day off right. Alien came out at a time when we had just had Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know? I mean, Star Wars had been going strong. And all of a sudden, space isn't all about glamorously cavorting around the galaxy, swashbuckling your way through undiscovered planets.
Nerf-herding.
And canoodling with saucy green-skinned breasted alien females. Instead, space was a bleak hellscape. You know, just another workplace. It was like going to the office. You know, Ridley Scott came up with this gruesome sci-fi horror epic, you know, where we have a team of disgruntled space jockeys that just happen to find this single, drooling, utterly vicious and single-minded critter.
Yeah.
It, you know, just devours them. And it went from there, you know, the result's gray, it's very somber, it's grotesque.
Yeah.
With a lot of uncomfortably Freudian imagery, you know, the phallic creatures and the pulsating eggs.
Yeah.
You know, named Mother. You know, you watch that, and H.R. Giger's designs just came to life.
Yeah.
You know, everything in there.
I've seen his art.
Yeah. And it was amazing. You know, it was a grim, haunted house movie that had rarely been equaled, you know?
Yeah.
So I really loved what he did in Alien, and then he spun it out, and, you know, we got Aliens, and we got, what was it?
Aliens 2.
Aliens. That was Aliens.
Right,
and then Alien 3, and then Alien Redemption, and
I thought it was Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up with this streamlined series that really was just great, and, you know.
And it's still going strong right now.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my most favorite things to watch. You know, I mean, Ripley. Yeah. They're even talking about doing another one, you know, that's kind of a follow-up to the series as well as to another film that I know you're going to get to here in a little bit. So we'll just kind of wait till you get there. Since then, there's been a lot of other movies that have borrowed ideas from Aliens.
Yeah.
The creatures, the corridors, corporations, the kick-ass heroine.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see how it has grown and done that. We also got a different interpretation of an android. You know, obviously you had C-3PO.
Yeah.
You know, that we were used to, as well as some of the ones in another film we're going to talk about here in a little bit, Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And here you have the one, you know, I think it was Lance Hendrickson played in there, and it's a robot that's designed to screw you over, really. I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He screwed everybody over, and you saw that pattern throughout.
Yeah.
So, great series. Love watching them. Enjoy them around the Halloween holiday, certainly.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can watch Aliens at any time.
Yeah.
You know, you turn the lights out in the living room, you sit down in front of your big 60-inch screen.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you got a 60-inch, I don't. But
well, and they're creepy-looking aliens.
But you sit down, you watch it, you're blown away every time.
Yeah.
And that darn cat in the first one gets me every time. I hate cats.
I think the popping out of the chest still gets me.
Nah, that I'm cool with. I even liked it in Spaceballs.
Yeah, yeah. Another great film.
So,
I completely forgot about that one. But I'm also kind of scared of the drool that comes out of the alien because it's very...
It's acidic.
Acidic. Yeah, I'd be afraid of it touching me and burning
something
off. So.
Well, you're not supposed to put that close.
Well, I know, but...
I mean, no one wants a Hummer from one of those.
Whoa!
What?
Oh, wow.
Talking about a Jeep.
Talking about a Jeep, yeah. Right.
Wow.
I'm going to move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
One of my other favorites, the Terminator series.
No kissing the aliens.
And what?
No kissing the aliens.
No kissing the aliens.
Don't kiss them.
This is more along the lines of robots, robotic, android type creature beings. The Terminator series, I'm a huge fan of the Terminator movies. I absolutely love them. The first Terminator.
The first one was phenomenal.
Yes.
That was unheard of.
But Judgment Day, the second one, was just as good.
Oh, I liked Judgment Day, too.
Yeah.
I thought that one was really good.
And then 3, and they kind of trailed off a little bit, but I thought...
Yeah, but they kind of brought it back with that last one. Salvation.
Salvation, yes. With Christian Bale and... can't remember the other guy's name.
Wasn't it Sam Worthington?
Yes, Sam Worthington. I thought they kind of pulled back to...
They harken, more back to the original feel of the movies.
A few of them that came after, I think Judgment Day, they kind of got a little far-fetched out there, and they got a little weird. But then I think there was another one that came after.
The one with Christiana Loken?
Yeah, there was one final one where Schwarzenegger came back.
Yeah.
That was maybe within the past 2 years, 3 years, something like that. But the original Terminator came out in 1984. It was an American science fiction action film.
That was another James Cameron film, wasn't
it? It was done by James Cameron. It starred Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator. He was a cyborg assassin sent back in time from 2029 to 1984 to kill Sarah Connor, which was played by Linda Hamilton.
Right.
Whose son would one day become the savior against the machines in a post-apocalyptic future.
Right, John Connor.
Yeah. Michael Bean.
Yeah, Michael
plays
Bean.
Kyle Reese, a soldier from the future sent back in time to protect.
That was John. The first movie I saw with Michael Bean, and I love him. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. He did well. I enjoyed the films. You know, it topped the American box office for 2 weeks when it came out and really launched Cameron's career. Now, I'm not saying Cameron does great stuff.
Well, no, he gave us Avatar.
Right, which I was not really a huge fan of, but I thought he did well with the Terminator films, you know, in it.
But I do give him props for pushing some of the envelopes on some things, because he's done a lot of good stuff.
I mean,
as far as furthering technology and advancing films.
The Terminator series has done really well. It's gotten some critical acclaim.
I like the TV show, too.
Was there a TV series?
There was a TV show that came out.
Oh, yeah. It was based off Sarah Connor, was it?
Yes, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right, that's right. Yes, I forgot about that. But yeah, the films did really well. People really enjoyed Schwarzenegger as the Terminator. You know, you had Terminator 2, which we said, Judgment Day. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Yeah, that one wasn't so good.
Terminator Salvation, and I believe the last one was Terminator Genesis. That's the one that Schwarzenegger came back for.
Yeah, I didn't dig that one as much either.
You're right. There was a television series. There's been comic books, novels, and video games.
Yep.
I even have an old action figure of.
In fact, we played Terminator Salvation.
We did recently. For a while,
yeah, recently at one of the local
video gaming
joints. Yeah, GameWorks.
Yeah, so yeah, that's one of my favorites. The Terminator, you know, is a huge hit, and I think people just enjoy it still today.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, therefore, I am. But what am I? Blade Runner. That's right.
I was like, wow, you stumped me there.
We're so accustomed to cinema being behind political and cultural curve that when a truly groundbreaking work arrives, no one's sure how to deal with it. Blade Runner came out and it was viewed as a disaster. I mean, a lot of people hated that it was glum and grimy and neon in the rain kind of vision of our near future, complete with a taciturn hero, anti-hero, you know, whose own moral compass seemed marginally less functional than that of the replicant villains that he was assigned to hunt down. It's a film that upon first viewing felt almost unbearably harsh and claustrophobic, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same point, it had such groundbreaking visual effects. It created the anti-hero, you know, and we really got a lot more out of Harrison Ford with it. I was very impressed with his performance. And we looked at it, you know, only years later, abetted enormously by the film's director's cut reissue, stripped of its clunky voiceover and the happy ending, we began to realize exactly what Blade Runner was offering alongside its spectacular visuals. And it wasn't that grim dystopian action flick, but a meditation on the meaning of life, morality, memory, creation, procreation, nature, nurture, the whole shebang. I mean, it was everything. You know, and Harrison Ford's Descartes himself is a replicant, you know, which, you know, and the film strongly implied that he was, but a lot of us didn't know, you know, for sure. And it just kind of dealt with that whole do electric sheep dream and electric dreams, you know, kind of thing. It became a whole world that we got immersed in. And so there it ended up succeeding flawlessly. It ended up being a great film. I think there's four different cuts out now.
There's multiple versions.
I got the
director's cut.
Well, I got the box set that's got all four cuts.
Yeah.
I never know which one I want to watch until I watch it.
You know, when I first saw the film, I hated it. Probably like a lot of people out there, when it came out in its day.
Yeah. But
as an adult, I kind of went back and rewatched it, and I had more of an appreciation for it because probably at the time it came out, you know, science fiction, people were so used to seeing the Star Wars, Star Trek.
Right, exactly.
They were used to seeing, like, these intergalactic battles, and, you know, to them that was science fiction, but then you had to look at science fiction. I think what Ridley Scott did is he took the idea of science fiction and gave it a different look and a different view and gave it a futuristic feel, saying, hey, to me, science fiction is what's going to happen down the road in the future. Are we going to be controlled by Terminators? Are we going to be controlled by, you know, android-type beings and create this whole world around it? And I absolutely, as an adult, enjoyed the dark and dank
settings
to all of it.
Other than Empire Strikes Back, everything ends cheery.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Empire Strikes Back.
The Rebels win.
Empire Strikes Back was the only somewhat dark version of Star Wars that we really had at the time. And you've got this dark, grimy world you're running into, and it's very similar to the crap we deal with.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we've got stuff going on, you know, it's rough. I think that's where it went. I really enjoyed it, and I think we could do a whole episode on all the stuff that it talks about.
Oh, yeah.
At another time. Yeah, same thing with Star Wars. I mean, good grief. We could spend hours talking about Star Wars
and Star Trek.
In and of itself, and Star Trek.
Those two continue to go neck and neck with each other.
So,
but I'm going to throw out another one of my favorites, and this is going to go back to your love of Alien. Mm-hmm. And I know you kind of alluded to it while you were talking about Alien. Is Prometheus.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed the Prometheus film. It came out in 2012. Science fiction film, also part of Ridley Scott's series of Aliens films.
Which was interesting, because it wasn't billed that way initially.
No, I don't think it was. But this is more of like a prequel to Alien.
Right.
Which I think was a hard concept for some people to swallow. but it does have some high-profile actors in there, going with one of my favorite guys, Michael Fassbender, once again. I know Jeff's rolling his eyes over here.
If Michael Fassbender's in it, Matt's going to love
it. I'm going to
go see it. He's going to love it. So
Guy Pearce, Idris Elba, Logan Marshall Green, and Charlize Theron.
Theron.
Okay. It's set in the late 21st century and centers on the crew of the spaceship Prometheus, as it follows a star map discovered among the artifacts of several ancient Earth cultures. Seeking the origins of humanity, the crew arrives on a distant world and discovers a threat that could cause extinction of the human species. So basically, you've got this crew, and they feel like they have found their maker, who created them.
My first time watching.
You keep peeling back the layers of the onion in Prometheus.
I think I was a little disappointed the first time through. I'll have to watch it again because I do think that there was some really cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes not everything sinks in on the first viewing.
Right.
And so I'll probably need to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, I think
I gave it about 3 stars, 3.5.
Yeah. I could go 3.5 to 4. I think it focuses a lot more on plot, story driven rather than what we're used to seeing in the Alien films of that suspense thriller,
right?
And some of the gore of the creature.
And I think I was looking for more suspense.
And this is, like I said, it's a prequel. It's kind of an open understanding of how Ripley down the road discovers and gets involved with these aliens. You know, it talks about where humanity started, the possibility of how humanity was created through an alien type being.
Right.
But there's also a lot of, and I know we've mentioned this before, a lot of undertones in this film that lean towards Christianity.
Well, yeah.
And a lot of visual effects that
there you can were, see. And I think a lot of that you don't pick up either on the first viewing. Yeah. On a second viewing, you might pick up more, you know.
A lot of visual effects of Christianity going on.
I think they hide a lot of these things in there, you know, same thing with Batman Dawn of Justice or really any of the DC films. I found that it's upon the multiple watchings, the multiple viewings, that you start picking up on some of the little Easter egg stuff that they've hidden in there, the things that you're supposed to pick up on that you don't catch the first time through.
Yes. So, yeah, it's all that kind of subliminal backdrop that's going on in the film that you're like, whoa,
right.
It just blew my mind because I didn't catch it the first time I saw it. But I enjoyed it. You know, it has the suspense, you know, of the original Alien movies. I thought the acting was great in it. I thought the plot was strong. It really just blew my mind in the sense of tying in Christianity and the sense of God and creating the first being on Earth, and maybe how that being evolved into who we are today. So it's could be a little bit of a hard concept to swallow, but I was just truly fascinated with it, and I can pop that movie in anytime and pretty much enjoy it. So that's another one of my picks.
Coming in from the cold.
Kind of like right now, since we're in the middle of January.
You know, it just kind of reminds me of this film.
Throw it to
me.
The Thing.
All right. The opening sequence, you start off, you got this relentless, ice-cold nerve jangler of a film with a helicopter flying in low over a scientific research area in the Antarctic. And there's a crew of scientists, and they're trying to shoot a dog. You know, they're just trying to kill this dog that's there. And the dog bounds away and vanishes. And just like a game of chase, it's gone.
Yeah.
Here, that's the parasitic alien that ends up picking them off one by one throughout the entire movie until we get down to Kurt Russell. So, you know, it's a John Carpenter film.
Oh, I didn't know Carpenter did that.
Look. Yeah. So there's a lot of suspense, a lot of horror to it. It's probably one of my favorite Carpenter films out there. It did disappoint in the box office. That's the thing. The fact that it came out 2 weeks after E.T. might explain why.
Yeah,
that was kind of a bad time, but the movie was hated, even by science fiction fans.
That's a tough pill to
swallow. And not anymore. Science fiction fans are all over the thing. They love it. I'm going to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine, Mike Ruth. He's a Canadian artist. He's doing The Thing sketchbook right now.
Sweet.
You know,
is that
the drawings I've seen of Kurt Russell that he's working on from it just look really cool. So they did remake it not too long ago.
Yeah. Is that but the...
I think the first one was the cool one.
Is that the poster where it's like a man and like this light shooting out of his face and all that? Or am I thinking of a different science fiction film?
I think that is the one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that. And then at the bottom it says The Thing.
Yeah.
And it's just this
yep.
kind of figure, man-like...
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
set in a
yeah, because the
shadow
alien,
black, and it's just this light illuminating out of his
the alien would can be his face.
Yeah.
So the alien can shift into whatever he needs to. It needs to at the time, and that's what makes it really suspenseful because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, where it is.
Yeah.
You know, loved it.
Yes. So cool. I'm gonna go with this next one, which I've been a very huge fan of.
All right.
And this is Tron Legacy. But it also can link back to the original
Tron
movie.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which I think at the time was something people had never, ever seen before. It was a sense of 3D mapped into science fiction.
Right.
So, but I really enjoyed Tron Legacy.
Right. I think the idea of being sucked into a video game.
Right. Which is what Tron Legacy kind of continued
really
with.
Cool.
In 2010, it was an American 3D science fiction action film. You know, its sequel was Tron in 1982, you know, which, you know, did fairly well. I think it was only over time did it really pick back up.
Right.
The 2010 Legacy film, the cast includes Jeff Bridges and Bruce Boxleitner. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Reprising their roles as Kevin Flynn and Alan Bradley, as well as Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, we liked Olivia Wilde.
Yep, and Michael Sheen. The story follows Flynn's son,
Sam. Yeah, I don't care. It had Olivia Wilde.
What?
It had Olivia Wilde. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
She was pretty hot in that movie.
She was.
But the story follows Flynn's son, Sam, who responds to a message from his long-lost father and is transported into a virtual reality called The Grid, where Sam and his father and the algorithm, Cora, that was her. I think she was Cora.
Yep.
Stop the malevolent or malevolent.
Malevolent.
Thank you. Program CLU from invading the human world. I thought the CGI, the effects were really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they did a really great job of bringing it into today's realm compared back to 1982 with the effects. I thought the story was strong. I think it was done by Disney. You know, I love the toys. I thought the toys were cool when they came out because you can get the action figure and press a button on him and it would light up all the way around his suit, you know, like that blue or orange color that you see in the movie.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. The CGI I thought was really well done because they did do CGI work with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
And his alternate character in that universe. And then, obviously, I mean, come on. The number one reason I really liked it was...
Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, because she was smoking hot in it.
So moving right along to another film that we liked because of the female...
Because of chicks.
...star. The Fifth Element.
Yes.
All right. The future's bright, and it's bright orange.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. It was never a critical favorite. Critics hated The Fifth Element.
I could see that.
But Luc Besson has resolutely persisted.
Besson.
Doing films with his idiosyncratic taste.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a kind of a wayward fantasy, distinct in its own to Hollywood, involving ancient Egyptians, interplanetary invaders, and the female embodiment of goodness, all suggestive of a youth misspent, pouring over earth, wind, and fire.
Mm.
You know, from Bruce Willis, who I always like Bruce Willis, to the supreme being Mila Jovovich, in her bandage dress, which if you ever go to Comic Cons, you will see people dressed in that bandage dress because you know what? It's hot. People like it. You know, the costumes were iconic in their own way, and it just ended up being a really cool story. You know, everything from memorable one-off images to Mila Jovovich's swan dive into New York City skies to the blue alien diva singing and, you know, going from her song into the martial arts that was going on in the other room. You know, it was just great. It was a fun film, and so I recommend it.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique film that Luc Besson had put together.
Mila, we love you.
Yeah. of characters and storyline. It just, I think what you start watching the film, you're just kind of sucked into it, and you're like, well, I don't know where this is going to go, but I want to finish it. I want to, I want to see what happens with these characters.
Yes.
And it was just a really awkward sense of science fiction that I think people weren't used to. And I think that's been the great thing about some of these films, is they step outside the norm of
right.
what we all perceive science fiction
well,
to be,
that's
and they push
want.
Those limits.
We want to push the envelope.
You know, and that's, you know, one of the things I enjoyed about The Fifth Element.
Yeah, what else you got for us?
My last pick, now this is part of a TV show.
Okay.
Because there are TV shows out there that
hit
heavy
yeah.
on science fiction.
We'll mention some, because we got like a long, lengthy list here.
Of honorable mentions.
Other sci-fi
and other
films.
Stuff that
yeah.
we like. Yeah. These are just some of our favorites that we're talking about a little
yep.
more in depth. But I'm going to go with a series called Torchwood. And
I
this
haven't
is,
seen it. Is it on Netflix?
You know what? I'm not sure, but it was on the BBC. It's
yeah.
a British science fiction television series. It was a spinoff from the 2005 revival of Doctor Who. And I know there's a lot of Doctor Who fans out
I've
there.
I've never watched Doctor Who either.
Torchwood was kind of a series that revolved in the sense close to like the X-Files of what we're used to.
Okay.
And it was a lot more modern day, but the show explored a number of themes, anywhere from relationships, human corruptibility, exploration, and alien type driven scenarios.
Right.
But it's a show that follows the exploits of a small team of alien hunters who make up the Torchwood Institute, which deals mainly with incidents involving extraterrestrials. Kind of like the X-Files. It's basically like the British version of the X-Files, in a sense. That's how
right.
I look at it. The central character is Captain Jack Harkness, immortal former con man from a distant future, which we know he ties back into Doctor Who.
Okay.
He's also a character that crosses over into the Doctor Who series.
Okay.
So you Doctor Who fans, you know what I'm talking about with Captain Jack Harkness.
And this plugs Doctor Who as well, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team of characters. I mean, we know with the X-Files, it was mainly Mulder and Scully. But, you know, it's a team of, alien hunters that track down aliens.
I preferred Cigarette Man.
Cigarette Man.
In X-Files.
Oh. But this team tracks down aliens and defends the planet from any kind of alien to human threat. And special effects were great at the time.
Yeah.
Story was really strong. I believe it ran for 4 seasons. Very disappointed that they stopped it or canceled it.
Because
I was really into that show.
Wow.
So that's one of my picks.
My Schwartz is bigger than your Schwartz.
Oh, God.
Spaceballs certainly was up there. Something that we considered.
Yeah, Spaceballs.
Pitch Black.
God. Oh, yeah, that's another
one. You know, the whole Chronicles of Riddick trilogy.
Yep.
Serenity.
Yes.
You know, that spun out of, yeah, it was a TV show first.
Yeah, it was.
And then kind of spun into that from our good friend Joss Whedon.
Yeah. I mean, you have to throw out Star Trek.
Yeah, you got to throw out Star Trek.
We don't upset the Trekkie fans out there. I mean, that's been monumental.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the recent
films. I've liked
films.
The newer ones. I loved Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
From the old ones.
Yes.
But there's a lot of it.
Star
just
Trek
didn't,
Next
didn't
Generation was pretty
go
good
for
series.
Me.
I thought J.J. Abrams did a really good job on the new films. I know that's up for debate amongst Trekkies, because I know a lot of them were not happy with it. But a guy who's not a huge Trekkie fan, I enjoyed all three films.
I thought they were better than what I had on other things. So
yeah. Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes,
huge
yes.
one. Not only the movies, but the long-running TV series. Charlton Heston.
There's comic books, too.
You damn dirty ape.
Comic books, too.
Got Minority Report. That was a huge one.
Yes.
Tom Cruise.
That's one that I had listed. Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes. That
Another
was
Tom Cruise
with,
film.
Emily Blunt, I had mentioned earlier. She was in it with Tom Cruise.
And Oblivion.
Yes. Oblivion.
Another Tom Cruise.
You know, that was up for debate. I thought about putting that on as one of my picks. So
there you go.
Snowpiercer is another one that...
Oh, I have not seen that one.
It's on Netflix. And it's pretty much a futuristic sense of a group of people. They're the last people on Earth, and they're stuck on a train. And this train circles the Earth constantly
yeah.
because the Earth is pretty much at a point of global warming and destruction and, you know, tons of snow and ice caps, and they survive on this train. And depending on the class that you're in determines what part of the train you're on. So if you're low class, you're at the end of the train. If you're mid class, you're in the middle of the train. If you're upper class, you get all the luxuries of the upper class on the train. Yeah. And it's got Chris Evans in it, good old Captain America.
Yeah.
And he kind of fights through the train for equality with all people on it. Okay. Tries to understand why they're sectioned off into groups.
Interesting.
And all is their life outside of the train.
Nice. For those of you who like Olivia Wilde, Han Solo, and James Bond, Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes. Oh, how could I forget about that one?
I love that one. That was a great movie. It was fun. It was very fun. It was cool.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yes.
Pacific Rim.
Yes, that's another great film.
The special effects in that were so well done.
Yes, my stepson is a huge fan of Pacific Rim.
Anybody not liking bugs? If you don't like bugs, Starship Troopers is your thing because they kill lots of them.
Yes, that's kind of a more goofier sci-fi movie.
Lots of bugs. But something that I've mentioned over and over again in Picks of the Weeks, Westworld.
Yeah.
There was the movie back in the 70s.
Yep.
Not as familiar with that, but the TV show that was done for HBO had been phenomenal. I highly recommend it. Dune.
Yeah, so I was actually just thinking about Dune. That one was good, kind of creepy. You know, we got the X-Files, which we mentioned a little bit earlier, kind of tying into Torchwood.
Yep.
V.
Yes.
You know, that was a huge series back, 90s? 80s, 90s?
Oh, yeah. Enemy Mine.
They redid it. Oh, Enemy Mine. That one.
Enemy Mine, Louis Gossett Jr.
Yep. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
That's a classic sci-fi film. Trust me, you will enjoy that
one. Yes.
E.T. Duh.
Predator.
I was a big fan of Predator. I had some Predator comics. They were a bit gory. I actually had Alien comics, too.
Yeah. I had Alien versus Batman. Jurassic Park.
Yes. That definitely is a monumental series of films. I really enjoyed the first one. Yeah.
Love the most recent one.
Yes. With what's his name?
Chris Pratt,
yes. I enjoyed that one. Was that Lost World?
Yes. Yeah. Phenomenal movies. The Matrix, I liked the first one. And they had the Animatrix.
Yeah.
Those were really good. The second and third, I think you guys thought a little bit, you guys were a little too high and mighty on yourselves. I did not care for them as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't see Keanu Reeves as Jesus Christ.
Right. I think we got Inception.
Yes, we have to mention Inception. This time without superheroes.
Without Doctor Strange.
Without Doctor Strange, and it was a great film. Lucy.
Yes.
You know, for those of you who think that Scarlett Johansson can't carry a picture as Black Widow, she obviously did it as Lucy. It was pretty good.
I know you guys are all out there thinking, but
people who didn't like it, but
Matt, Jeff, how could you forget Back to the Future?
I didn't forget Back to the Future.
Boom.
It's on my list. The Fly. Great.
Yes,
The Jeff Fly. Jeff Goldblum.
Yep, that was creepy.
Jeff Goldblum.
When he went into that machine and he came out, ugh.
Anybody want to arm wrestle him? Not me.
No,
he pukes
thank
on your
you.
Arm.
Yeah, and then doesn't like his arm fall off and ugh.
Yeah.
Just
anybody ever played with your mashed potatoes?
Ugh. The Fly.
Play with your mashed potatoes and make some nice mountains on it. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes. Yes, that's a classic.
That was a classic.
Did you ever see Children of Men?
I haven't seen it.
That's a pretty good film.
It has Clive Owen in it.
Yes. It's all about the future.
I like Clive Owen.
And the human race and not being able to reproduce as humans. But he finds a girl who becomes pregnant and she's able to reproduce. And he tries to protect her and save her throughout the film.
Nice.
You know, without that secret getting out, because it's almost like limiting the population on Earth in the future because of disease and war and all these things. But it was a really well done film, surprisingly enough. So I recommend that one. Signs,
yep.
Good old Mel Gibson.
12 Monkeys.
Yes, and that's got a TV series right
now. TV show running right now.
Sci-fi.
Yeah,
I've actually watched a little bit of the TV show. It's not bad. It's interesting. The problem is you got it, and this is
that movie was so weird.
I think it went Brad Pitt in it.
Yeah, I think I watched it once and was like,
The TV show, this is where I went wrong. I picked up a couple episodes figuring, oh, I can figure this out. No. What I watched I thought was cool.
But I couldn't figure out the movie.
I would have to go back and watch it from episode one of the show and start from the beginning. But that's an interesting time travel type show and movie.
Mad Max.
Yes. Yup. Good old Tina Turner.
Yes. War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Yup. That was another...
There was a Tom Cruise film, but yeah, it was also on radio at one point, which was huge. Orson Welles, everybody thought we were actually being invaded by aliens.
Yes. I'm going to throw out there Cloverfield.
Yes.
Babylon 5.
Yes.
Andromeda. I used to watch Andromeda and Babylon
Battlestar 5. Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. I'm also going to throw out there, and I think they should be included, Godzilla, the Godzilla movies, and King Kong. They're a little bit on the sci-fi side.
Buck Rogers.
Yes. Yes. The Martian. That was a recent one with, Matt Damon?
Yep. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, that was
a trippy, weird kind of thing. I still don't get it, but hey.
Did we say RoboCop?
We have not said RoboCop yet. So RoboCop, you know, if you want something on the goofy side, check out Flash Gordon.
Yes, yes. I completely forgot about that.
You know.
Especially with Queen doing the music.
Yeah.
Oh.
Flash.
Oh.
Oh.
Savior of the universe.
Yep.
What else we got? Stargate, Farscape. Those were TV series as well that were pretty popular.
Yeah. Independence Day.
Yes.
They remade it. The remake is not worth your time. The original was fun. Oh, good,
because I haven't seen the remake.
It's not worth your time.
Yeah.
I haven't either, but I haven't heard anybody who's liked it.
Yeah. We got, what else? Total Recall.
Yes, that Total Recall.
A good sci-fi film. The Running Man, another one with
Running Man.
Galaxy Quest. That was a huge hit for science fiction fans.
Those of you who like your anime, how about Ghost in the Shell?
Yes, which is coming out as a movie soon.
Iron Giant.
Yep.
Or...
Yes, Iron Giant was a great film.
Akira.
Akira is good. I really enjoyed The Iron Giant.
Yeah.
That was a...
I did too.
Anime.
Yes.
Great film for the great family.
Great family film. My son loves it. We watched it several times. For those of you who might be old enough to remember Jane Fonda when she looked good, Barbarella.
Yeah. We got Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That was a little bit on the trippier side.
Yeah, that's on the trippy side.
And Mystery Science Theater. Got to throw that out there. Wow, we got some
Gremlins
going on.
Gremlins.
Yeah.
The Abyss.
Yes.
For those of you, The Abyss. You know, I mean, aliens underwater. That was an interesting film. I liked it when I was younger, mostly because of Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, there's a sequel to that coming out.
I know. I'm pumped for that.
You know, I had to throw that in now. I didn't want to do that as my top five picks, but certainly Guardians of the Galaxy would have been up there.
Yep. I'm going to throw
love it.
Donnie Darko.
Yes, that Donnie Darko.
That's a good sci-fi film. Creepy.
Do we have any WWE fans around? How about They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper?
I'm going with The Host.
Host. I have not seen The Host.
That's a good Korean film.
Okay.
Good Korean film.
You know, a lot of sci-fi sites mentioned The Prestige.
Yes, I've seen that.
I'm not sure how it ties in. I thought it was more magic and suspense. But,
right.
But you know what? I'll throw it in here because if people see that as sci-fi, then if magic's sci-fi, then cool.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
Yeah. We've got District 9. Did we throw that one out there?
Superman.
Yeah.
All the Supermans. Yeah, I mean, he is an alien. You know, same with the Avengers.
Yeah. We got Defiance, which is a sci-fi show that's been running strong still.
Yeah, yep, that's been running strong.
Of course, Avatar. Not one of my favorites, but we're going to throw that out there for the Cameron fans.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Can't forget that. And, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, even to me, is kind of a sci-fi film.
Yeah.
In a way. And those are just classics from back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghostbusters?
Yes, Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
The Matt and Jeff Show.
Yeah, Or are you going to hit us up on Facebook?
Right.
But yeah, you've also got The Outer Limits, which was another, I believe, TV series, and The Twilight Zone.
Can't forget that. Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes.
See, there's all sorts of...
Tons.
There's a ton of sci-fi
science fiction out there, and we tried to cover a lot. Now, granted, there's more out there, and we're sorry if we did miss some of your favorites, but you can always hit us up on our Facebook page or drop us an email. Yes. Let us know ones that we did miss that you consider to be your favorites.
Certainly. We probably should move on to our picks of the week.
Our pals.
What do you got for us today, Matt?
I got three, and I'll try to keep them quick.
Yes.
I'm going to throw out, and this ties into our episode right now, The Passengers.
Okay.
Which is a science fiction film that came out
recently. It's got Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence.
Chris Pratt.
Yes. Chris Pratt did a really great job in it.
Something for the ladies, something for the guys.
You got that right. And I will say, Jennifer Lawrence gets pretty naked in this film.
Who cares? She's swimming around in a pool where the water moves and takes her up into the air.
Yes.
It looks cool.
Oh, no, but there's some intense...
I'm just saying, it looks cool.
Some intense sex scenes that are pretty revealing if you look close enough. So, but great science fiction film.
You can probably find those on YouTube already, and someone's probably dialed up the contrast so that they can see. So,
I don't know. I think the aliens are moving around above us.
Yeah, there's definitely some gremlins moving around.
My next pick is going to be a graphic novel that I picked up. And I know, I've turned away from Marvel, but I've gone back to Marvel in the sense of picking up a graphic novel. I'm not reading the new crap. This one is Steve Rogers' Super Soldier, which is still...
Okay, Old done. Cap by Brubaker.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Really good story right now. If you guys are interested in some Old Cap, not the new... crap cap. And my last pick, and I thought this was pretty interesting, and I'm really hoping they do this, Moon Knight. There's rumors of a movie, and they want the director of Guardians of the Galaxy to push forward with it. But
nice.
Because of all the work he's been doing on Guardians of the Galaxy, and now the movie's going to be coming out and promoting it, he feels he doesn't have time to do it. And Marvel, he's trying to shake a leaf at Marvel to get Moon Knight out there. But Marvel hasn't bit back on it.
Well,
so
we'd love to have Moon Knight.
I think it'd be really cool with you know, Mark Spector being Moon Knight.
And Moon Knight, getting that schizophrenic going. Batman.
So that's my picks of the week. What do you got, Jeff?
Schizophrenic Batman.
Yeah, all right. Pretty much.
Merida the She-Wolf by Chris Claremont and John Bolton. You know, I got the hardcover graphic novel of it for Christmas. Read it. It's like Red Sonja, same kind of thing. So if you're a Conan fan. Fantasy, you like sword and sorcery, you like women, you know, that are tough, strong female characters, Merida the She-Wolf, check it out. Great, gorgeous art by John Bolton. I Hate Fairyland, Volume 2 is out. For those of you who may not have picked it up yet, do so. Scotty Young is rocking it. If you like playful, violent, gory, fun, childlike comic books, that kind of romp, there you go. You got I Hate Fairyland. Last night, sat down with my family. We watched 2016's The Jungle Book, directed by Jon Favreau. Great film. Very well done. Thought they did a wonderful job with it. Really enjoyed it. The other film that I have seen recently that I highly recommend for those of you who love anime.
Yeah.
Kubo.
Yes.
And the Two Strings.
Yes, I saw that film.
Great, great film. Works well with the kids. I highly recommend it. Now, we do have one little thing here to do.
Yes.
We're going to pull the plug.
Yes.
We're going to pull the plug right now.
Yep.
And
you guys are probably wondering.
And you're going...
Pulling the plug.
What the heck is pulling the plug? We are not going off the air yet.
No.
Okay? That is not what we're talking about. We're not dropping the mic. We're not quitting. We're not moving on. We are pulling the plug and saying, letting you guys know that today's episode was brought to you by ChicagoSciFi.com.
Yeah, so Jeff and I want to take a second and do a shout out to a buddy of mine who lives in Chicago. His name's Paul. And I've known Paul for quite a while, and I used to work with Paul. And we wanted to let you know about this site that he runs.
So what the heck is ChicagoSciFi.com?
Well, it's a homegrown site that's been around for years. And somehow, I don't understand how, but Paul not only maintains the site, but also a number of Facebook pages that include news, pics, videos, and more for TV shows like Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Once Upon a Time. And he also had a blowout celebration of the original 60s Lost in Space TV show. And he's also got pages up for movies and sci-fi to horror stuff that includes original production notes. So he's got a lot on his blog. So I'm saying go and check it out.
Yeah, check out the content.
ChicagoSciFi.com. I think you guys will really enjoy that. So shout out to Paul.
And that was Pulling the Plug.
That is Pulling
the Plug. Here on the Matt and Jeff Show.
Yes. So I think that about wraps it up today.
I think so. Yeah. Take us out.
We're done. Once again, everyone, thanks for listening in and stay tuned for our next episode.